He who saves one life saves the world entire. And the most important life to save is your own. After all, it's the place where you have the most power. So join shadow worker and trauma therapist Laura Giles each week on It's Not You, It's Me. We'll uncover what's in shadow and learn the things you need so you can heal yourself, grow yourself, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and share yourself. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to drop the self-sabotage and limiting beliefs. A healthy, abundant, connected life is an option. Choose it. Subscribe, and let's start manifesting it.
Hey guys, mythologist Joseph Campbell famously mapped out what he called the hero's journey, and that's a template of everyone's life. It's a how-to of how to become who you are called to be. So naturally, in a podcast about getting in the driver's seat of your life and running it like a boss, we want to use that template to help us out. And the archives are podcasts about the call to adventure, which happens when we're in the ordinary world and something happens to make us wake up and say, whoa, something's got to change here. There's also a podcast about returning with the elixir, which happens after we've slayed the dragon and now have to come back home. Be sure to catch those if you want more context about the hero's journey, but today we're talking about meeting with the mentor. If the podcast informs, inspires, or entertains you, give me a high five by liking, sharing, subscribing, or reviewing. Cool? Thanks. So who is the mentor? Modern Western people are really familiar with mentors. We hire personal trainers, life coaches, executive coaches, therapists, or lean on our pastors to get us through life. We kind of get that we can't do it alone. Other people know more than we do about certain things, and it's okay to ask for help, and that's a fantastic thing. A mentor could be someone like this. It could be a formal role where the relationship is well-defined and laid out, or it could be more informal. The movie Karate Kid is about this high school kid, Daniel, who's getting bullied by this guy who takes martial arts from this aggressive school that focuses on violence and beating people up. And Daniel is rescued by his apartment maintenance man, who's a martial artist. And Daniel asks Mr. Miyagi to teach him how to fight. And Mr. Miyagi has him come to his place to do chores, like wash and wax the car and paint the fence. Daniel thinks he's being used, but in the process, he's learning not only how to fight, but valuable life skills. And this is what the mentoring relationship is about. It's about cultivating values, beliefs, and skills that will see you through life. It's about helping you to learn how to defend yourself, stand your ground, and know who you are. I see a lot of people putting themselves out there as gurus. As I understand a guru relationship, the guru is a master, and therefore you always have to be subservient. In a mentor-mentee relationship, you may start out as a student, but if your mentor is doing a good job, you're going to grow. You're not meant to spend a lifetime at someone else's feet. A mentor could also be someone like a big brother who has been with you your whole life. Merlin from the King Arthur Legends is someone like this. Merlin had a hand in Arthur's conception. He took him from his birth parents and had him fostered with another family until it came time for him to embark on claiming his birthright, the throne. He educated him, protected him, and guided him until Arthur became his own man. Typically, a mentor is older, wiser, and has more resources, but this isn't always true. In What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I would say that Becky is Gilbert's mentor. Gilbert lives in a small town in the middle of nowhere, where the most exciting event of the summer is watching for a caravan of RVs to roll past. Seriously. And Gilbert and his brother, who has some sort of learning disability, are going are watching this happen when one of the RVs breaks down. This is when they meet Becky. Becky's about Gilbert's age, and she makes Gilbert nervous because she's traveled all over the world, and Gilbert hasn't been anywhere. Becky awakens a desire in him to be his own person rather than be the servant to his family. And Becky shows him how to be patient and compassionate. She tweaks every insecurity in Gilbert to show him things that he overlooks because he doesn't ever have any thought or care for himself. Some of it makes him feel horrible, but it also gives him the first sense of wanting something for himself at all. He wants to meet her where she is, and he knows that he has a lot of growing up to do if that's going to happen. So the mentor doesn't have to be like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda. They don't have to be old and wise. They just have to inspire and teach. In The Princess Bride, Wesley's mentor is the Dread Pirate Roberts. We talk about the mentor showing up close to the moment when the poop hits the fan so that the hero can have some support on this journey. And Dread Pirate Roberts actually shows up after our hero, Wesley, leaves Buttercup to make his fortune so he can marry her. So just after he embarks on the journey. Wesley goes off to sea, and his ship is attacked by the Dread Pirate Roberts, who has a reputation for never leaving captives alive, so Wesley is presumed dead. Roberts doesn't kill Wesley because Wesley asks him to please not kill him. Roberts is intrigued by the please, and he asks him to explain. And when Wesley tells him the story about Buttercup, Roberts takes Wesley as a personal attendant. They become close, and Robert teaches Wesley how to fight, sail, lead men, before Roberts gives over the title of Dread Pirate Roberts to Wesley, allowing him to make his own fortune. So there's all kinds of ways that a mentor can be a mentor. They can be the guide who leads the hero through dangerous and unfamiliar territory. They can be the trainer who helps the hero develop skills. They could be the older sibling, mother, or father who teaches by giving the hero someone to rebel against so they can develop their own identity. They can be the holy person who gives spiritual guidance. After all, there are times in life when there are no answers. No skills and no resources are going to solve a problem. All you have is faith, and the only way out is through divine intervention. So a mentor can be the counselor or sage who dispenses wisdom and inspiration. We have lots of those in podcast communities in the YouTube world as well as the real world. So don't put the whole idea of what a mentor is in a box. It can look like a whole different thing, okay? Now, why is the mentor important? The challenge before the hero is typically pretty intense. Success or just getting to the other side of the obstacle is more than the hero is able to do alone, so he needs some help. The mentor shines a light on things that the hero doesn't see. He explains what's going on. The mentor may tell the hero what the goal is, and he knows this because typically he's been there, done that. Or sometimes he's tried to get there, he's been down that road, but he's failed. But he's gone a lot further than the hero has and has more insight. In the movie Rocky, his trainer, Mickey Goldmill, was Rocky's mentor. Mickey was a professional fighter who had 72 wins, 70 by knockout, but he never became famous. So he'd been down the road, he was helping Rocky go down, but he didn't make it all the way. So mentors aren't perfect or gods, but they know the ropes. Mentors keep the hero on track sometimes. He may allow the hero space to make mistakes and go off on tangents if it facilitates growth, because it's not about telling the hero what to do. The mentor is not a dictator. The stepping back can be all about giving the hero space to figure things out so that he gains confidence in himself. I know that Gandalf does a lot of fighting in The Hobbit and The Lord of Rings, but The Hobbit and the dwarves all get as far as they do under their own steam. Gandalf doesn't do the work for them. He's a helper, not a rescuer, and that's an important distinction. Everyone pulls their own weight on the hero's journey. They have to, or else it's not a hero's journey. And sometimes, I hope, that means that the mentor asks the hero tough questions. I know a lot of people want to be loved and supported, and those are important ingredients to any relationship, especially for people who didn't have safety as children. But unless you are challenged, it's too easy to stay in the safety of the ordinary world and stay your ordinary self. There's nothing wrong with the ordinary world, but so many of us refuse the call to adventure, and then we don't grow up. We don't evolve. We leave the same as we did when we came in. And everyone can make their own choices about what they want out of life, but that's my definition of a wasted life. Life is calling on us to leave the ordinary world, step into the unknown, and then return with all our magical discoveries. The mentor helps us to find the courage. So I want to give you some tips on how to make the most of your relationship with your mentor. These won't work for every situation. They work best when there's an established mentor relationship. So if we're talking about your grandmother or someone you admire who serves as an inspiration, but you don't have access to, this won't work so well. So adjust. Okay. Let me start by sharing the things that I love about my favorite clients, because I see that as a mentoring type of relationship. So first, they use observation and self-reflection as superpowers. These are two skills, so let me break that down. The first is observe. This means to take in with the senses. What do I see, hear, taste, touch, or smell? It's objective. It's not what I think. It's not a story about who did what to whom. We can bog ourselves down with right and wrong and feelings. If you want to know what you're looking at, you have to be mindful and objective. If you bring the wrong story to a session, you're going to get the wrong interpretation, or you will spend a lot of time teasing out the objective story when you could have done that on your own time. So be mindful and objective. The self-reflection part of this is not to blame or complain. It is what it is. What did you contribute? What do you want? How are these things patterns? How did you feel? What were you trying not to feel? Those are the types of questions that are useful to acknowledge. Truth is truth. Nobody knows your truth but you. And if you come to a session talking about how perfect you are and how nothing bothers you, you and your mentor are going to have nothing to work on. My favorite clients follow up on homework assignments. Mentorship isn't a pep talk. It's about action and change. If you don't actually follow up and take responsibility for the change that you want, you won't move from where you are. If you're stuck, say you're stuck. That's real. People get stuck. What you don't want to do is pretend that you're going to do something and then do nothing. Talk it out. Obstacles can be removed if your mentor knows they're there. So this might look something like this. Sheila, and Sheila's my name for any girl, ends her mentor session filled with optimism and high hopes. She has to make a phone call to set things in motion. She can't do it now because of the time difference, but she says she'll do it first thing in the morning. Morning comes, she thinks about it, doesn't do it. Next morning comes, she thinks about it, but doesn't do it. By the third day, it's not in her mind at all. And she goes on to her next session talking about how work was busy, she needed to clean her house, and blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's an obstacle. Instead of going to your next session talking about excuses, slow things down and observe what it was like to have the impulse to call and the resistance against making that call. There's gold in that. Sink into that and you can figure out what it's all about. There could be some real issues that need to be addressed. Or maybe there's an emotional issue that needs to be looked at to get a full-bodied yes. When our head, heart, and gut are in alignment, we don't dawdle. There could be issues with worthiness, fears of abandonment, or uncertainty about your abilities. It's good to know them so that you can do something about that. But it doesn't happen if you don't get honest with yourself and do some self-examination. Another thing that my favorite clients do is that they walk beside me. Not all mentors are like this. Some like to lead. I suppose some want you to lead. I used to be the walk in front type of leader, but I have learned that people are only going to do what they're ready to do. So I wait for people to be present and ask me questions. I will do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go, but you have to be open and willing to go there. So I recently read the book, The Wind is My Mother, where the author was talking about his initiation as a medicine man. He went to visit his teacher and the teacher ignored him. The teacher was going about his business, not acknowledging him. He was getting frustrated, but then he eventually gave up and decided to wait until the old man was ready to give him his attention. And that was when his teacher looked up at him and said something like, "Oh, now that you're here, we can begin." That's what I mean. In Western culture, everybody has a four-step plan to get from A to Z, but life's not like that. Nothing in nature moves in a straight line. If I come prepared with a plan for how you're going to grow, well, we can throw that out the window right now because it's not going to work that way. We might crawl for a while and then make a huge leap. Your internal process is different from anyone else's, but if you're going to walk beside me, we can keep step. I never get too far ahead or behind. When we're connected, we can go far and cover the ground that you need to cover. That leads me to the next trait of my favorite clients is that they ask whatever they want to ask. It's their time. It's their goals. I'm not a mind reader. I have ideas of where I think we should go, but it's their walk. This is a part of walking beside me. If we're on a path and I'm like, hey, let's rest a while. Or, hey, I wonder what's down there. And you go off in a different direction. I go off in a different direction. We need to stay together. And it's okay to take detours. We don't have to go straight from A to Z. You know, sometimes these detours are really, really important. The guru culture doesn't work in a mentor-mentee relationship. That's why the word is mentor, not guru. It's interactive, and your success depends on both people showing up and participating. It can't be a one-man show. It's relationship. Oh, and I have to add this. The most enjoyable clients to work with are the ones who don't take themselves too seriously. And this can be a huge problem. I had a client who was gung-ho, super positive, like toxic positive. Nobody's 100% happy all the time. Everybody has doubts, anxiety, worry, and just blah moods. He was so serious about being happy, successful, and the best at everything that he couldn't make a mistake. Couldn't laugh at himself or endure a negative thought. So laughter is really great medicine. Being lighthearted and silly is great. I practice this with my clients because it's drilled out of us as kids, and that's a shame. Play is therapeutic. I highly recommend it. Being willing to play, be wrong, take detours, and be adventurous. We're all going in the same place. That's death. Some of us will get there sooner than others. And some of us will get there with more money than others. But one day this gravy train is going to come to a screeching halt. And if you have laughed your way there, I'd call that a good life. Oh, and I've got one more. I love it when a client says, what did you mean by that? We're not always on the same page. Maybe I say something that lands wrong. Maybe I'm saying something that sounds like it's coming from left field. It's far better to ask for clarification than to be in a state of confusion. And it's better to get clear than to be secretly offended. Confusion happens. It's life. But nothing has to remain fuzzy. Just ask for clarification. I do that too. If you're in a mentor relationship, be teachable. Otherwise, why are you there? Just say no thanks and walk away. You can always find someone else who's a better fit for you. In most cases, there'll come a time when you break with your mentor. Sometimes your mentor stays with you your whole life, but most of the time, they're only with you for part of the journey when you need them. Once you can stand on your own two feet, they give you the space to do that, and that's as it should be. Our parents don't continue to wipe our butts, feed us, and pay for our cell phones when we're adults, right? They don't come to our doctor's appointments with us or do our grocery shopping. Those are adult activities that we can do for ourselves. That's the whole point of parenthood, to rear self-sufficient adults. It's the same for mentors. They teach you and then let go. Or maybe you let them go. You see, mentors are not gods. They're human beings. Maybe they can't do what they're training you to do because they have a drinking problem. So they're great athletes, but their emotional house is a wreck. And so you need someone else to take you the rest of the way. Or maybe they present as loving, supportive, and hospitable to you, and then you find out that they're abusive to their own family, and you realize that you have a values conflict. Or maybe you just have come to the end of your need for them because you've done really great work together. Or maybe you want to go in a direction that they have no expertise in. People break up with their mentors all the time. It's normal. It's natural. It doesn't have to be catastrophic. So here are some suggestions to make that transition easier. So the first one is to plan on this from day one. Everything ends, even life. I think it keeps the fear of death or abandonment away by acknowledging that. We don't live in a fantasy world where nothing ever changes. We don't live happily ever after. We go into this, you know, new romantic relationship hoping that this person will be the one and our dating days are over. And then we get crushed if that person isn't a match. And that's just unrealistic. Why do we do that? Everything ends. That's the law of nature. And planning for that end from the beginning is the best way to make it easier and to accept it. When it comes to a mentoring relationship, it's a formal relationship. So put your goals in writing. Have an end date or goals that let you know when you're done. If you're going to work together for a year, let it be a year. If it's until your goals are met, let that be the time when you say that you're done. Or if there's a breach of trust, that can be when it's done. I was talking to someone who had a 2-year contract to work at a place. He really wanted to stay beyond that time. There was definitely work for him to do to stay longer, but for whatever reason, that was not offered. So since each side fulfilled their side of the deal, they got what they wanted from the arrangement, and that was that. I can see why he was disappointed that they didn't go beyond that, but that's what they agreed to. It's how it should be. That doesn't have to have any negative feelings around it. The boundaries are set. It makes everything nice and clean. Now, let's say that you're not getting what you hoped for from the relationship. Well, now that's your responsibility to either ask for what you want or say it's time to go. You're there for growth and support, and if that's not happening, it's okay to go. The best way to let go of any relationship is from a heart-centered approach. Be grateful for their willingness to be part of your journey. Be grateful for whatever they gave you. If they created challenges for you, be grateful for that because it presented you with a way to get stronger, clearer, and to differentiate yourself from them and be true to yourself. As you break away, focus on what you gained from the relationship rather than how they failed you. I remember going to dance workshops because my friends were there and wondering why I chose to come because I wasn't getting what I wanted. I could have sulked the whole time, but instead I focused on what I got, which was time with my friends. And I also got learning about how not to teach. And I don't say that as criticism. I say that because the world is your mirror. What's reflected back depends on your lens. If you aren't seeing something lovely and instructive, change your lens. I promise you it's there. On that note, before you cut the cord with your mentor, if it's because of a conflict, you might ask what you contributed to that. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. And if you walk away because of something you're bringing to the table, you're kicking that can down the road. If you're letting go with negative and unsettled feelings, there is something unresolved in you. Just saying. Maybe you work that out with them, alone, or with somebody else, but nobody is ever the cause of your upset. We create that for ourselves. Even if they do something that we find really appalling, we're in charge of our own peace. That said, I hope your mentor relationships are happy, healthy, and fulfilling. Mentors are an important part of your hero's journey, and if you have never had a mentor, maybe you're not allowing a mentor in your life. If you're a know-it-all, a perfectionist, or don't trust people, there's no space for anybody to help you. Just throwing that out as a possibility. And if this is true, trust yourself. Trust nature. We're all reflections of nature, and as such, we're perfect. See yourself in the leaf of a tree, in a cloud, or in someone else's smile, and use that to guide yourself. It's a lot easier to have someone guide you, but know that you're always connected and always grounded. Cinderella's mentor was her fairy godmother. She was a supernatural creature, so your guide may not be a person, but know that help's always available. You can decide what the big takeaways are from this podcast, but I would say that one is we all need help. And two, it's important to ask for help and accept it from a qualified resource. Three is be a great student. And four, know that the relationship will end. My suggestion is to love your way through that so that when it's your turn to mentor someone else, you will have had a full, healthy process from start and end to model for the person that you mentor. Now, if you sent me a podcast topic, know that I appreciate it. I'm getting to them in the order that they were received, and I thank you in advance for your patience and welcome your interaction. There was a time in my life when I had no idea how humans worked. Relationships were a complete mystery to me, and I really needed this type of information, so I'm happy to share what I've learned so others don't needlessly struggle. The hero's journey really has helped so many people in so many different ways. It's why I have guests on this show. They're not really here to be experts. If you notice, typically we're on the same playing field. And I don't mean that to diminish anybody's expertise. I mean that we're here as humans helping humans. And most of them talk about ways that they were challenged and how they got through that. That's intentional. It's to give you inspiration and examples of how everybody has stuff and our job is to get over that stuff. And the hero's journey is a great map to move you through life. And I hope I've shed some light on this topic and this stop on the journey. And if you want more, don't forget to check out the other two podcasts on the hero's journey, the call to adventure, and returning with the elixir in the show notes and the archives. So thank you guys. See you next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help the podcast thrive, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Laura Giles, you can follow her on all her socials at Laura Giles 804. See you next time.